Hello, and welcome to Conscious Conversations, a brand new podcast brought to you from the Conscious Creatives team, where we discuss in amongst ourselves and with exclusive guests what the word sustainability really means, and how, if we're working together, we might be able to achieve a better world by the year 2030.
As part of this podcast, we would like to invite you to take a brief moment in mindfulness before diving in. Please join us in taking 3 deep breaths to help calm our nervous system and give ourselves permission to listen in. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. One last time, breathe in and breathe. Enjoy the episode. Allow yourself to be in the moment. For all the links mentioned and show notes, head to www.consciouscreatives.co.uk/podcast.
Hello, everybody listening, and welcome to episode 1. Of Conscious Conversations. This is a new podcast created by the whole team at Conscious Creatives. And today I'm joined by 2 of them. We have Ruby and Amberly with us this morning. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
And to kick off our podcast, in which basically we're just going to talk about things that we think are important to us and might be important to other people, either running or inside of organizations. And today's topic is values. So I'm going to kick off by just sharing the 4 values that we run Conscious Creatives with. Number 1 is doing the right thing is always the right thing to do. Number 2 is have a kind heart towards all work and challenges. Number 3 is support a culture of open and honest communication. And number 4 is making a difference requires finding motivation and drive. And what we're going to talk about today is how they show up. So the kind of things that we do to live our values and some of the challenges that come with that, because living a purpose-driven organization is it's quite a challenge. And so the first question I have to all of us this morning is, how do we live and show our values outside of work? So this is really important. In order to know that you're in the right working environment, there has to be some match of values, stuff that you have yourself and the way it shows up inside of the way we work. Ruby, you and I, when we first met through the interview process, I knew in an instant that we had a strong value connection, because you mentioned some of the social issues that were really relevant at that time. Now you've been working with us a little while, how do you think some of the values that Conscious Creatives has show up in your life now outside of work?
Yeah, I feel like this is quite like interesting for me, because like before I worked here, I never really worked in any sort of environment that had any set of values for their staff or any ways of like communicating or any set like ways of being like a good person. Basically, it's usually more money driven than it is people driven. So it's quite interesting for me, like when I started here, that people actually, that you actually had something in place for how to live in like a nice way, how to be a good person, basically. That's all I feel that they are.
Yeah.
The values, they don't seem like they're the things that you've got to really change about yourself. Well, you might do, depending on what type of person you are, but they just seem like the way that you should be a good person, I guess. But it's quite good. It like reinforces myself, like when I make decisions and stuff now, I have to start thinking about like whether it's in line with what we would want as conscious creatives.
Yeah. And I guess actually one of the funny things is when I was making the decision, so originally, as anyone of the 400 applicants who applied for that job would know, it was for one person, but I ended up hiring two. And in my decision making, I came to value one: doing the right thing is the right thing to do. And I knew that hiring two people was the right thing to do because it would make the onboarding and understanding of those values a lot easier if there was two people going through it. Amberly, obviously you and Ruby joined at the same time and you both had that sort of same exposure. So Ruby said that she'd never worked for another organization that had any kind of like values or that made those values obvious. Have you ever worked for a company that kind of had a good set of values?
No, I worked in customer service and roles like that and retail.
I feel like with like customer service, they should have like set values.
I know.
It's so weird how it's not more of a normalized thing.
I think it was I think they did have values, but it was in a very different way. It was more generalized. It was make sure that you help people at all times and make sure that you are friendly, make sure that you smile lots. It's much more kind of front facing rather than things that are more kind of inward and make you really work on being your best self. I think it was more about the front that you show rather than really being willing to talk about your emotions and being thoughtful and doing more of that inner work, which the values that conscious creatives have.
And isn't that just so obvious now? If you think about it, like how many organizations don't work from the inside out? How many of them just focus on what they look like on the outside and don't really care about what they look like on the inside?
Yeah, it's so true. And that's something that I love about working here, because it's not about how you seem and how you appear. It's really about, you know, what you think. And you grow a lot through that. I really feel like having these values that are about having a kind heart towards work and challenges and doing the right thing, it really makes you want to come to work as your best self, rather than showing your best self, actually being your best self.
Okay, at this point, I feel like we need to just, you know, I've not paid anyone to say this, but that does make me quite emotional, because that is kind of the whole point behind a purpose-driven organization. And I'm just going to use that now everywhere. It's not about showing up as your best self, it's about being your best self.
It is really true, though. Like, with every other job that I've been to, I could be having like a really bad week or a bad day. But I feel like as soon as I go to work, I've got to pretend that I'm just like, none of these problems exist and that I'm this like perfect employee. And I feel like as soon as I came here, I was able just to be myself, which was like a completely like new environment for me. And it's like completely got rid of any anxiety I have towards going to work. Like, because before it used to just be like a hidden, like inward problems. And then everything else used to be like this display, like what Amberly just said about how it was all about how it looks. Like, make sure you smile lots and that you're friendly to everybody. And like, that was what I was always thinking in my head. But like, with this like work, and you've done so many like workshops and stuff with us already about like braving and like being in the arena and everything like that. And I think like, it's already so much more integrated into who you are as a person and not what you look like.
Mm. Well, and you've, as we discovered in this week's team meeting, you found my hidden secret, which is that basically all of the work that Brené Brown has ever done is the best thing ever. And you mentioned braving, which is her model of trust, and stepping into the arena, which is part of her TED talk around vulnerability. And yeah, we do share a lot of that work. If you are listening to this and you want other podcast recommendations, I think we can all recommend Brené Brown's podcast. And depending on when on earth this episode ever goes live, on October the 19th is the launch date of her new podcast around her book Dare to Lead, which is basically where I steal everything from. So you can go listen to that podcast. And if you are thinking, damn, I want my employees to say some nice things like this, then Brené Brown is the place to go. One of our values is about understanding the simple fact that sometimes the work we do is really challenging. You know, when we're facing up to the real challenges in sustainability, a lot of the time we don't want to do it. We would rather just kind of hide away, get under the duvets and give the problem to someone else, but often there isn't anybody else to do that. So we have to find the motivation and drive. I think it's a real challenge for anyone that's trying to live their values in a purpose-driven organization or whatever it is they're doing and stay motivated and stay driven. A lot of the things that I do are based around self-care. So investing in myself, my coach always says, I cannot pour from an empty jar. But Ruby and Amberly, I'll be interested to hear from, you know, your perspective. What kind of other things do you do? You know, Amberly, you've written that beautiful blog about connecting with nature. You know, how does that show up for you? Ruby, you're the master baker and skincare expert at Conscious Creatives. You know, so tell me about what motivation might mean for you guys.
Yes, so I wrote a blog on finding motivation in nature, and it was talking all about how going out into green spaces or going to the sea or just being outside can really help you to detox and feel calm and separate yourself from work. And it's so easy to just stay indoors and be like, oh no, I don't have time for a walk today, or I don't have time to go and see the sunset. But it's really important to kind of push through that and think, even if it's just for 5 or 10 minutes, just to go out and see the sea if you can, or go to a river or a lake, or just see the sky even. Just see that bit of blue sky and take a deep breath.
Any favourite spots? Any favourite gardens?
Yeah, going to gardens is so, so important. I think being surrounded by flowers, oh, it's just wonderful. I really like just going to any gardens. I don't really have a favourite. I do love National Trust property visits. And I think not just going to these green spaces, but I think also journaling. Because going to gardens or the sea or anywhere outdoors and taking a journal with you and just writing down what it is that you feel, taking those moments to almost zone out and just be mindful and zone out to your own thoughts and feelings and just listen to what's around you and, you know, just close your eyes and kind of be present, and then write down in your journal how that feels and then see where your thoughts take you. I really think that journaling is an amazing way to separate yourself from the challenges of the workplace. I started daily journaling from April, and I've really found a change in the way that I think. I've definitely felt more positive since doing that.
Ruby, talk to me about, so we've got, well, self-care, it seems to be a common theme here, which is good. So looking after yourself is actually the way that you can look after the planet. What about yourself? What top tips have you got?
I think, like, so just it's about been about a year or two that I've just started, like, really getting into my skincare, which seems like a really odd thing. Like, probably doesn't seem like it's something that would help my mental health. But it actually has, because it's sort of, if I have a day where I'm just going to sit around and do nothing and stay in my pajamas, I'll feel awful at the end of it, because I think I've just wasted a whole day of my life.
Yep.
And yeah, I've not done a single thing and there's nothing to show for it. But if in the morning I get up and I've done that skincare, I'm like, well, I've done skincare now. Like, my skin is ready to go for the day. Might as well do something. And it, like, forces me into, like, this routine of, like, oh, well, I did that, so I can do something else. Whereas before, when I didn't have that, I was just like, oh, just do the bare minimum. Like, I'll have a shower, brush my teeth and get back to bed. So, like, I was just completely, like, zoning out to the world, having, like, full-on Netflix months at a time.
Yeah.
But, like, having that skincare routine, And as well, I thought, like, well, I'm doing something kind to myself. I'm not very good at being very kind to myself. I sort of, like, beat myself up about a lot of things quite a lot. But, like, when I do the skincare, I'm like, well, my face is, like, really happy now. Like, I've given it moisture and I'm giving it all these things that it needs and, like, helping it to flourish and be clean. So, like, I feel good about that, like, because I feel like I'm doing something to make myself feel better, and it works well in the long term. Like, the longer you do it, the better your skin becomes, and it just shows, like, oh well, my life isn't completely pointless because I've created good skin for myself. Which is, like, a really odd thing to, like, say, I guess, but for me it personally works quite well.
Well, as someone, you know, in their early journey with skincare, you know, so I'm approaching my mid-30s now, and I have never in my life thought about skincare, if I'm being completely honest. But Ruby gave an impassioned speech about skincare one day and very, very kindly offered to find the, you know, the lovely vegan organic products for me that I might need, and give me a step-by-step guide on what to use and when. I don't know, it must be, what, 2 or 3 weeks in now? Something like that.
Yeah.
And it's, I have to echo everything you've just said completely and utterly. Like, yeah. I am redefining what getting ready means to me. So in the morning, it used to be just get, because now we all work at home, you know, it was get ready to sit at the desk that is the other side of the wall from where I sleep. And that would be what I did. That was the amount of getting ready I would do. Whereas now I'm making lunch in the mornings as if I'm making a packed lunch, as if I would go out the door. Like, where has this come from? And I think it's all coming from getting up in the morning, having a shower, doing the skin, and then I'm like, well, I've done my skin, so yeah, brush my teeth, or I may as well do my hair now. I'm actually completely ready. So if I needed to leave the house, then I absolutely could. And yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get back in my PJs, and that's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. I think it's like one step closer to being prepared to leave the house for me, which is like a good thing. Because I won't go out the house unless I've done my skincare. So if someone's like, oh, you want to come out? I'll be like, oh, sorry. Like, I'm not ready.
But when I've done it and someone's like, oh, do you want to just come outside? I'm like, hell yeah. Like,
yeah, I'm ready for the day.
check out my skin. Check out my face. Yeah,
I'm glowing. Yeah.
I think it's definitely having a routine of some kind, whether it's looking after your skin or whether it's taking time to go out and go and get some fresh air, or whether it's reading a book. It's just taking that time for you. Maybe it's an hour or half an hour. It's just having that set time each morning and evening, which is outside of anything else. And it's like, no, this is for me. You can't take that time.
Yeah, and it's like perfect for winding down as well in the evening, isn't it?
Yeah,
like having that one thing that you do, like, you know, every evening ends with that, so you have to, like, it gives you a time to relax before you get into bed.
Yeah, I think
I feel like it's a really good thing.
Yeah, it's so important.
In some of our little prompts today, we wrote down, you know, what are some examples of, you know, somewhere where we've shown up, done the right thing, even though it was really not the easy thing to do. And I've been racking my brains trying to think of some good examples, and the only one that I can really come up with was recently we were approached by a PR firm, for the royal family, and they'd asked me to attend an event in order to be highlighted as, you know, someone doing some good work in sustainability. And obviously when that call comes in, you think, yes, it's the greatest day ever, like, this is gonna be amazing. And then they asked me not only to waive, you know, a fee or anything to go to the event and do these things, but they actually wanted me to pay them, and it was a 5-figure sum for a dinner. So
it's literally insane.
There's so much money for one dinner, especially when they were kind of talking to me about some of the work that we are doing in Penzance, and the average income for someone in Penzance is around £19,000 per year. So they were asking me to spend almost the same amount as someone that we represent earns in an entire year on one opportunity to sit down with a member of the royal family and talk about sustainability. And it was a hard no from me. And some people were like, yeah, of course, that's outrageous. And then some of my friends said, well, you know, maybe you could have created more value by investing in that. You could have, you know, you could have created more value from the event. So rather than seeing a large price ticket, you know, see the large value you could get. I thought that's really interesting. And I understand that, you know, we need to have an abundant mindset. You know, I get that. You know, we need to want to bring in the big sums of money. But at what cost? And I think that was a real challenge for me, trying to figure out what was the right thing to do. And in the end, I'm pretty happy that we turned that down and said no. But it, you know, that was such a challenge to figure out in that situation. You know, it's same as the Oatly thing. You know, when do you invest with, you know, all of you've got into something that's not exactly in line with your values in order to progress? And you know, sometimes I think you've just got to say no. Actually, we don't want to grow. We don't want to progress in that way. Like, there's not enough growth in the world, and all the good we may do that comes from that just isn't going to be worth it.
Yeah. And as like a business owner, it's like a really difficult thing for you to have to like set, like to turn down offers that would potentially like give you that edge.
Because absolutely.
Of like a moral standpoint. So that, like, you knew it was the right thing to do, but that thing of turning down the royal family for a meal would have been a really cool thing to put out that we've done. And we would have got a load of press from that, but it's the... Yeah, the cost behind that is just astronomical.
Well, it felt, you know, wrong to go and sit and talk about sustainability where income inequality is a huge part of that. When we've dropped, you know, effectively I could have employed someone part-time for a year with that money. You know what I mean? So, yeah, you know, it's very difficult to come around on that. But, you know, so that's an example that I've got. Amberly or Ruby, have you guys got any examples where, you know, you've had some challenges recently? Don't have to involve the royal family.
I think, like, just in general, the whole statement makes perfect sense that doing the right thing is always the right thing to do, but it's not the easy option. It's never going to be, like, what comes to mind first, I think, sometimes. It's like, it's when you make a mistake... you know that what the right thing to do is. The right thing is to, like, say sorry or to work out the mistake so that it's corrected, so that you're not in that state of shame anymore. But, like, it's not the easy thing to do, and, like, that's not the first answer that comes to your head. And I think a lot of people, like, go back to that childhood thing where you've, like, broken a vase or something, and it's like, ah, like, I've done something wrong. And, you know, the right thing to do is to tell, like, a parent that, oh, I'm sorry, I've broken the vase. But how many times have you, like, tried to hide that vase or, like, try and fix it so that nobody even knew? And I think, like, that's the problem that I have, is a lot of the time that I know that the right thing to do is the right thing to do. But it's that actually doing it and showing that, like, showing up and being vulnerable and telling, like, my mistakes and everything like that is a lot harder than it seems.
So I think it's quite an internal thing as well, isn't it? So I think it's a lot to do with gut. Like, I feel like that's the thing, isn't it? That's where right comes from, isn't it? Like, where you, in your gut, you know you should do something, but instead you do the thing that's a lot easier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah, we had this yesterday. Was it yesterday? I can't remember. You know, we're talking about this podcast and we're talking about this networking event that we're also setting up. And, you know, originally it was just going to be part of Conscious Creatives and that was what it was going to be. But now we've decided that, you know, it should have its own brand. And it's definitely the right thing to do. But, oh, man, the amount of work that now is going to come from that. It was something I really resisted. And I had no idea I was resisting it. It was such an obvious idea. But I had completely resisted it because I was trying to get what was easy, because we're very busy right now.
Yeah. And like that is another thing as like a creative, is once you become busy with the ideas that you had in the first place, how do you continue being creative? Because you're too busy to think of new things to do.
Yes.
But you don't, you can't always be continuously progressive.
No, and this is normally probably where I show up and don't finish a project and I'm like, oh, let's go on to the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge that, and it's certainly, you know, I mean, Brené Brown defines integrity as choosing to do what's right over what's fun, fast, and easy. So I guess sometimes when we, you know, choose the path of least resistance, we have to just kind of check in for a second and figure out whether or not that is the right thing to do. When, so that's a good question, actually. This might help people listening in. How do you know, like, I've mentioned gut instinct, but what does that feel like for you guys, like when you are thinking about making a decision and you are trying to tune into what your intuition is saying? What does that, how does that look, how does it feel? Do you have to do anything to activate it? Do you know instantaneously? How does it work for you guys?
I feel like for me it's like the first thought that comes to my head after I'm thinking about
it. Okay.
I feel like that's like my body saying, well, that's what you got to do then, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think it's like also listening to yourself, because sometimes you get so many different opinions from other people and it feels like they're all just going around in your head, and then you start thinking what they've said because that's something that you hadn't thought about before, and you have to ground yourself and go back to where it started. How did you feel in the moment? What was it that you really wanted before all of these voices came and started talking to you?
Yeah, I think that's like a really difficult thing as well, because everybody thinks so differently.
Yeah.
So like I could have one complete opinion on something and then ask somebody just for a little bit of advice, but usually just to reinforce my own opinion. I think that's like the main thing that you do when you ask for advice, is you've already got like a set opinion in your head but you want someone to agree with it. Well, it's for me anyway.
Yeah.
But like when people come in with that different idea and then you're like, oh crap, like was that what I was meant to be thinking all this time? And then you think, oh, was I completely wrong in that idea? Yeah, so it's like that full-on second-guessing yourself.
Yeah.
But I think we did that workshop with you, Mark, and I can't remember what it was, like, specifically called, but it was, you made us pick people that we could trust their opinions, because we knew they were...
Square Squad.
...trying. Square Squad, that's it. Yeah, so now I just sort of stick to my Square Squad.
So, I mean, that's a great exercise, and perhaps we'll go into more detail around it in another episode. I also feel that this is closely linked to our second value, which is having a open and honest lines of communication. And it's really interesting when you think about, here we are, you know, we've been working together for a few months now, and we've done all of the trust exercises, we've done loads of vulnerability work together, and here we are talking, you know, as if we're old best friends, you know, that have been together for years. And as I just mentioned with family, sometimes that's really not the same. Sometimes it's a lot more challenging. And so we here, we've used boundaries. You know, my coach, the wonderful Fifian, came in and gave us a talk around boundaries. And we talk about what that really meant to us inside of the workplace. And then we try and honor those boundaries as much as possible with one another. And we're not afraid to say, oi, mush, you've stepped over that. Although we do it generally nicer to one another. And that's really great. But what happens when we step outside? I, for one, have found this incredibly challenging. Like setting boundaries with people that just do not want to be put inside a boundary is one of the most challenging things I've ever gone through.
Mm. Is this like, are you talking about setting boundaries with people you know?
Yeah, like family. Like they're the worst.
Yeah.
Like after 30 plus years, they just have their opinion of me now. And if I ask them to respect any kind of boundary, they're just like, no, And I'm like, okay, what do I do? How do I get through this now? What do I do? Because I can't keep existing in a relationship where my boundaries aren't respected. But I don't know what I can do possibly to try and convince them to listen.
Shouting out to the Roberts.
Yeah. Love you guys.
Yeah, I think, like, especially with friends and stuff, people you've known for a long time, they don't really, like, it's hard to progress sometimes.
Yes.
To become, like, to do new things and to try new things. I think sometimes people misconstrue that as you changing, like, you're not the same person that they once knew, or you're faking, like, becoming a new person, and ooh, this isn't who you are, and all that sort of
yeah.
thing. But, like, it's actually just development, like, personal growth, which is really hard to do when you've, like, known somebody for a long time. You almost feel like you're just stuck in this little box of how they know you. So then you can't show any new, like, traits from yourself because they misconstrue that as something that's not.
Which is such an irony when what we're talking about here is holding ourselves accountable to a solid set of values. You know, the one thing yeah. that will never change. So, you know, as long as we're acting within those values, you know, none of our actions have really show us as different people. It's just that they're showing up in different ways. But the values are the same. So in theory, we are exactly the same person. But I totally hear you. You know, that is exactly it. You know, what you said there about, you know, people think you're faking, they're judging. You know, they are feeling challenged by your progress. And then suddenly you're the one that's being left out. You know, you're the one that's being put under interrogation. And it makes yeah. no sense.
Like, with this new career that I've started now, this was completely different to anything to do with childcare. And for ages, all I ever thought I was going to do was special needs care and specialise in that. So then the friends that knew that was what I wanted to do, I knew that from, like, an early age, so now they all say, like, oh, this is a complete, like, job change, like, are you sure mm-hmm. this is, like, what you want, and things like that, and I'm like, well, I'm happy, can you just be happy? yeah, that's, like, a difficult thing, because a lot of people are saying, well, I thought this is what you were going to yeah. do, I thought this was your plan.
So, Amberly, you must have some of that. So, you know, you went to university and studied literature, and we all know what a wonderful writer you are. Do some of your uni friends, like, how do they see you now? For those listening, I didn't go to university. I've just made up the whole thing as I've gone along. So I mean, really intrigued by the experience of going to university and then after that, then getting, you know, a job like this and working in an organization like this. Like, how does it compare to those that you went to uni with?
I think the great thing about my friends from uni is that we all went on to do completely different things. So it wasn't like we all had the same dream and the same set path. And I think it's really important as well to think that in your lifetime you can be multiple different people and still be yourself and do multiple mm. different things, yet still be who you are. And I think something about working here I love is that I can still use my love for writing. And I can still use skills that I got from getting a degree, such as being creative and things like that. But in a different way, it doesn't have to necessarily be with books to be using those skills. Mm. And yeah, I think it's great that we all went on and did completely different things so that we can support each other.
Yeah. I mean, it's been useful for me, you know, having someone with your talent set as we... as an organization, we know that, you know, our value doing the right thing is the right thing to do, which means that we have to venture into new areas that are very challenging. So there are five of us that work at Conscious Creatives. There's the three of us and then Debbie and Sarah, who unfortunately couldn't make this episode recording. And we're all white. And we know the right thing to do is to support the Black Lives Matter movement and to support, you know, Black people in general, especially in the world of sustainability and creativity, where sometimes it is very white, and especially in Cornwall, where there is very little diversity. And so we've had to go on a really challenging journey together to try and understand, you know, the appropriate way And Lord knows we'll probably get it wrong a few times before we get it right. But having you be able to craft our words in such a genuine way that our intention is clear, which is that we are, you know, we're here to support organizations that support the Black Lives Matter movement, and being able to do that in our own way, that's been such a gift. So we were also talking, Ruby, you were talking earlier about shame and how that shows up in sometimes doing the right thing is simply admitting a mistake. And guilt is, oh, I did something bad. I knocked over a glass of water. Whoopsie. Shame is, oh, I knocked over the same glass of water. I am the worst person in the world. Shame is very, very bad. Guilt isn't great, but, you know, there is, you know, sometimes guilt can create positive change. Shame is a no-no. Shame is just a big destructive monster. And that does show up when we make mistakes and we believe that we are a bad person and that that's what will be judged, not the action, but we as people will be judged because of it. And that's a real challenge. And there are lots of mistakes that we, you know, have to come to terms with in order to progress through that. And that's the, you know, a key component of doing the right thing is owning those mistakes. We have to do that with clients quite a lot. Sometimes it's a simple thing, you know, like sometimes we'd be like, oh, this project's running a little bit behind, you know, and that's, even that sometimes is quite challenging because it activates sometimes that shame instinct, and away you go. You know, we're like, oh my God, we're the worst company in the world. And it's like, wait on a minute. Like, what? Why am I imagining this company I've created is the worst company in the world when, you know, most of our clients are happy most of the time, you know? It's a very rare occasion that I think anyone's ever got mad at us. But that's honestly, that's constantly on my mind of like, oh my God, like, what do they think of us? And it's all shame that's driving that. And it's terrible. It really is. A big portion of my week is spent worrying about what clients might think of us all the times.
But it is so important to you, though, this business. It's a difficult thing to try and work through issues without thinking that you're failing or what you're doing. But obviously, issues are going to arise for everyone. No one's perfect.
No.
Even the biggest companies, they still have issues. There's still going to be setbacks.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, that's all they teach you, to be able to deal with changes.
Yeah, I would never expect that either of myself as an individual or either of you two as an individual. You know, I would never expect any of us to never do anything wrong. Like, that would be insane. And I think I'm probably a lot kinder to myself, you know, when I make a mistake personally. You know, obviously we alluded earlier that there was, there's some family stuff in the background. And, you know, some of those challenges have been really, really hard hitting. And sometimes, you know, it's even just admitting a mistake to myself and, you know, going, okay, well, oops, that's not been handled brilliantly again. And, you know, that's sometimes where the real challenges come in. But when I do that in personal life, I tend to be quite kind to myself, you know, and just think, okay, well, you know, you're doing the best you can with the tools you have available. But there is something about running an organization that just amplifies that. Comparison comes in as well. Like, I know loads of people listening to this, if they're running an organization, will absolutely understand the nightmare, the pinning emotion of comparison. It's just crazy when we really have, you know, to go back right to the very top, you have no idea really what's going on the inside, because we're all putting out this exterior view that everything's great. And so we never really know what's happening inside. But yeah, comparison, that's a direct route to shame for me.
Yeah. I think that comparison shows up in a lot of different ways as well, like throughout life. In everything. Like, I think even with family, like for me, you think about what other people are doing that are like similar ages to you and stuff like that, and you start to think that you've got like this clock that's imaginary of like what you should be doing. There's so much pressure to put on yourself.
Yeah, it's trying to kind of compare yourself. The only person to compare yourself is to yourself, and as a way of growing and thinking of how far you've come and everything that you've done that is amazing. And if you've done all those amazing things before, then you can still do all those amazing things ahead. And having and creating your own business or organization is an absolutely incredible thing to do. And it's kind of, you know, it's being grateful for that and kind of patting yourself on the back sort of thing of being like, I've done this, you know, another person has done that and what they've done is amazing, but it's not what I'm doing. I'm on my own path, I'm doing my own thing, and it's really trying to just think about what it is that you're doing. And it's so hard, it really is so hard, but it's important.
I think what you just said there actually is one of the keys which I am trying and struggling with, which is instead of coming from a scarcity mindset of, oh no, that person's doing something that I'm not, it's about going, oh my God, congratulations, what you're doing is awesome.
Yeah. It's congratulating other people as well and thinking, you had your own dream and you've made that happen. I have my own dream and I'm making it happen, and it might be different, but and you might be at different levels. So they're on their pathway and you're on your pathway, and they might look completely different or they might be quite similar, but you've just got to follow your way and meet all the things that come with that. And yeah, it's just really important to kind of just compare yourself to yourself and be kind to yourself about it and think and celebrate. I think it's really important to kind of celebrate all the wins that you've had and practice gratitude for everything that has happened to make that become a reality of having your own business.
Yeah, well, you know, and we're talking about business here, but really it's anything, isn't it? Family, a partnership, a relationship, like whatever it might be, you know. But you're absolutely right, it is about being grateful for what you have, supporting other people in celebrating, because I think what you're saying is so right. If you don't celebrate other people, you can't be surprised when nobody else celebrates you.
Exactly. And I think it's sometimes you can feel like when you do something really great, you're really happy. And sometimes that's when other people fall back. You know, they then think of themselves and they kind of worry about themselves. And you don't want to make other people feel bad or feel like they're not good enough. So sometimes you don't want to share what you've done, because you feel like you're worried about hurting or making someone else feel upset or all these negative emotions.
Yeah.
So it's really trying to encourage that celebration of each other, so that you can then feel and have the confidence to share what you're doing. And because you're congratulating and enjoying the happiness and the success of others.
Yeah, that's so true. That's something I'm going to take that away as an action point, is to go away and celebrate more what other people are doing, so that I'm going to start giving myself permission more to celebrate what we're doing, because we're doing some really amazing things at this organization. And I do want to be really proud of what we're doing, because we're all working so hard right now, and some of the stuff that we will be able to share with the world over the coming months is I mean, it's world changing. We're actually, you know, right on the cutting edge of some of this work around sustainability, not just in Cornwall, but in the UK as a whole. And I do want to be able to feel real comfortable celebrating that. And you're right, it's not about writing a great press release. It's about building community around what you're doing with other people that are either doing very similar, or you know, maybe they're doing something completely different, but they have the same values that you share. Ruby, I know you've put that amazing list together of other Cornish organisations that share our values. And I think perhaps that's a great way to start, is to go and just, whatever these guys are doing, just go and celebrate it with them. And that feels good.
I don't think there is enough celebrating of people's accomplishments. within like business especially, like a lot of people just consistently are on what they call the grind.
Yeah.
Of just like continuously working and working and working, and they don't feel like they've ever reached that end point that deserves any sort of congratulations. But the very fact that they've started this business and they've tried to do something deserves congratulations in itself, whether it like ends up accomplishing anything or whether it ends up just a complete failure, it's still worth saying well done, like you tried, you're willing to put yourself in like in that space that was really scary, knowing that it could have failed and you still went for it anyway. Like that's an amazing thing, because a lot of people will never go for that. And like especially with you, like you've created this whole business because it's so important to you, the values and the sustainability goals and everything like that, and you've created the whole business around it. I think you should be like proud of that in itself, whether it ends up becoming the perfect idea of the business or the company that you believe in. It's still amazing to have created something that fits your values and is a company that works for you. Like you've created something really special, and you should congratulate yourself for even trying.
Yeah, it's funny. So when I was talking with my friend yesterday, and she works for a multi-billion multinational company, and she's in the marketing department, and we were talking about this kind of stuff, and that was one of the things that we came away with, was actually, if nothing else, we've moved the needle now on organizations of all size and types putting sustainability first, so looking after the people and the planet around them first as a viable business model.
Yeah.
And yeah, you are right. That is something to be very proud of. So whether we, you know, hopefully we make it to our fifth year, you know, which is a huge milestone. That's better than 80% of businesses that are ever created, you know, and that's a testament in of itself. But if we don't, even so, we've moved the needle. And I think if that's the aim, then we've done a pretty good job. I don't know about you guys, but this feels like a really progressive conversation. And I guess my hope is that, you know, any organizations or people from organizations rather that are listening to this hear the truth, which is it is possible to create a culture where there's high levels of trust, great levels of communication, where everyone knows what they're doing, where people are taking risks, they're, you know, we're venturing into new ideas, we're doing things that make us a little bit afraid, but we're not willing to put failure in front of any of those things. Failing is fine, we feel that, we know that. And all of these things, you know, make people happy. I hope anyone who has listened to this has taken something away. You know, I've just taken away the fact that we're now going to go and celebrate as many Cornish businesses as we possibly can that share our values, because that's what we should be doing. And yeah, I hope everyone has taken away something that they can do inside of their organization, or maybe inside of their own personal experience of being a human being. And stay tuned as we release more episodes coming up.
Thank you for tuning in, and we hope you enjoyed listening. You can find out more about us and today's show notes by heading to www.consciouscreatives.co.uk/podcast, or head to www.consciouscreatives.co.uk/quiz to take our brand new How Sustainable Is My Business quiz. In under 5 minutes, get a great overview of your company and how it stacks up in the world of sustainability. We hope you have a positive and peaceful day.